fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Tuesday Morning Roundtable on Tuesday, the 18th of October. The prep tip today is to pay off debt and have or acquire a cash reserve. We have held over from the first segment, Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer. We're now joined by Jeff Nyquist. His book's for sale at Amazon.com. 6 books, by the way. Excellent books. His website's jrnyquist.blog. We hope to be joined later on in the show by Steve Bannoon. Have not heard from Steve O'Neill. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us, sir. War in Ukraine continues to be dominant, in at least in alternative media, somewhat mainstream media, the latest things I'm hearing is a buildup of Russian troops in Belarus and the landing of 30 or so Russian jet fighters equipped with missiles that can go 5 times the speed of sound, hypersonic missiles. What updates do you have in that regard, sir?
I haven't. Is this just came across the news that they landed them in Belarus?
I believe it was Belarus, yes.
The jets, yeah, that's what we've been expecting.
Right.
Because they've been preparing airfields. Old Soviet airfields, they've been preparing them to take these planes. I found out yesterday the number of Russian troops that have moved into Belarus. It's 9,000, which is only like one brigade's worth. And I think that they're garrisons for the airfields.
Well, they sound like they would be advance parting to prepare these airfields. Probably the buildings have been let go. The tarmac needs to be repaired. The fuel tanks may be rusty and need to be repaired.
No, they've been doing that for weeks.
So that's all been underway.
I heard about the operations there almost 2 months ago beginning.
Yeah, and they would need to set up facilities to feed the troops, house the troops, make sure they got sanitation facilities.
Yeah, they started to fix right. Everything up during the summer. And that's how we knew to expect these movements weeks ago. All this stuff can be seen from satellites. So people right. Who can rent satellite time can see this activity. So it is not so far a major movement of ground forces, but the Belarusian army has been co-opted to participate in whatever operation they're going to do. And everybody's still kind of wondering what's going to happen. Now, the Russians, so far, 35,000 of the Russians that were mobilized have been put into frontline units. And already 2,000 of them have been killed. That's a figure I got yesterday.
Is Belarus a former Soviet
republic?
Republic.
Soviet republic. Yes.
Is it now allegedly independent?
Well, it is an independent country, but it is in military union since Boris Yeltsin signed the military union treaty in 1999. They're in military union with Russia. So their army technically will take command from Russian generals, but that hasn't really worked out. The Belarusian military, when Lukashenko talked about invading Ukraine to go down to support the Russian army in Kiev back in March, his defense minister resigned. And there's problems within the army. They're worried that they might switch sides. They might revolt. So I don't know if they fixed those problems in the Belarusian military. There's a lot of sympathy for Ukraine and Belarus. And so that's one of the problems there. But evidently they feel confident enough to announce what side they're on. Although what we've heard over the last weeks is that Lukashenko, the president of Belarus, has been attempting to avoid any commitment to Putin to actually send troops into Ukraine.
Okay, so I don't know much about Belarus. Is that how you say it? Belarus? Are these ethnic Russians?
Yeah, they started adopting this new style under, I think it was the Belarusian Russia before, but they shortened it up. So I don't understand the nuances, but that's like Belarus, Belarusia. They used to call it White Russia. Those are the different names that it's gone by in the past.
Okay. We got a caller on hold here. We got Jeff in Maine, Massachusetts. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John. How you doing? And Jeff and Leon, how you guys doing?
Good, good.
That's good to hear. Now, here's my question, guys, which is the subject you're talking about is a good subject, but let's say I'm your average ignoramus on the street that would ask the question, what does this have to do with America, my wallet, and so forth? I'm making plenty of money. I'm all set. I'm living in the suburbs in the Northeast. Who cares about Russia and what goes on the other side of the ocean? I'm all set. I mean, I don't want to hear it. What do you say to a person like that? Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
What do I say to a person like that? Are you living on a different planet? Because, first of all, the reason that it matters to us is that Russia and China are both becoming militarily active and mobilizing at the same time. China is threatening Taiwan, and Russia's actually invaded. China's threatening to invade Taiwan, and Russia has actually invaded Ukraine. Both countries are nuclear powers, so you have nuclear powers going to war against their neighbors, prospectively in the Far East and in Europe at the same time. It's the biggest war in Europe since World War II. There is threatened escalation, which it could escalate to nuclear war. The Russians, because people say that we're in this war. Of course, it's not accurate. Would anyone say that Russia was in the Vietnam War? Of course, Russia was in the Vietnam War a lot more than we were in this war, because Russia actually had troops in, advisors, military advisors in Laos, Cambodia during the war, probably had some troops there. Nobody would say that we were fighting Russians. We were fighting the Vietnamese, the Army of North Vietnam, and the Viet Cong. In this war, we are basically giving material support along with many, many other countries like Norway and Germany and Britain and Poland and Czechia. A lot of countries are supporting Ukraine's defense, and Ukraine is defending. Ukraine's not the aggressor. In the Vietnam War, North Vietnam was the aggressor. Was the country invading the South. So it's we are supporting with just aid. We're not sending troops. So Americans aren't dying. Americans aren't fighting. Ukrainians are fighting for their country. So, but the Russians are blaming us and saying they're fighting us and not the Ukrainians. The Russian propaganda to their own people is that the Ukrainians have no agency. They're just puppets of us. And by the way, the people who pick up the Russian propaganda here and run with it say the same thing here, that we're the ones, we're trying to destroy Russia, even though nobody's invaded Russia, nobody's committed an act of aggression against Russia. It's Ukraine just wants to be its own country. So, but you have to listen to the rhetoric. They're blaming us, and they have nuclear weapons, and they have threatened to nuke Washington, to nuke our military bases, to nuke NATO headquarters. These kind of threats have come from Russia since the war began, and they basically threatened at the beginning, before the war started, or just as the war was starting, that if anybody helped Ukraine, that person could be the recipient of Russian attacks. When in response to all this, Finland and Sweden wanted to join NATO, Russia initially threatened NATO, although they stopped doing that when they realized.
Hello? Hello?
Sorry. They realized it was a done deal. So so you have to be, you should be a little aware of it because you could be in it, whether you want to be in it or not.
Very true. Good point. And let me give you another question to, as an addendum to that question, which is the average person's mind is like, if it doesn't really affect us directly, in other words, missiles flying into America and so forth, they could care less. And also in the minds of Americans, a lot of people, it's basically, this is all talk, this is all saber rattling, nothing will ever happen here. You guys are alarmists. What do you say to those people?
Well, I hope they're right. But,
I hope they're right, too.
I mean, just discussing the reality of it is not alarmism. Look, discussing reality, if I were to say to you, you know, Russia has nuclear weapons, they're aimed at us, they've threatened us with nuclear war, is that alarmism or is it just telling the facts?
It's telling a fact.
Yeah. So, and I think we need to be realists. We need to face the facts. A lot of people, we have, denial's not a river in Egypt is a saying, you know. We have to face the facts and we have to deal with them. And I don't think we can solve any problem, you know, politically that we are not able to discuss without being ridiculed.
You're exactly
right. Or being assaulted as being, you know, oh, I don't want to hear. Okay, plug your ears and like a child, stamp your feet and it'll all go away. But it won't.
You know, that's a good closing line. I thank you guys for having me on, and have an excellent day. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Okay, Jeff, thank you for the call. The call number is 512-248-8252. Well, the introduction of these MiG jet fighters with the hypersonic missiles, that could be a game changer, couldn't it, Jeff?
Well, it depends on what's in the warheads of those missiles. That's not a lot of fighters for it to be a game changer. Look, they've deployed aircraft before. For it to be a game changer, what are the warheads? Do they have thermobaric warheads? Or are they about to bombard Kiev? The positioning, you know, if you're going to position fighters in airfields that look straight down from the north on Kiev over the Pripyat Marsh, you know, because that's where Belarusia is, that's a preparation for a massive air attack on Kiev, in my mind, you know, looking at the meaning of it. Why would you want to be at the closest possible airfield distance from Kiev with such fighters? Because you're going to attack it. Now, Belarusia is the closest territory to the capital of Ukraine, right, that you can get.
Well, I can tell for people who don't know. You, and Leon, don't be afraid to jump right in here. The time that the jet fighters can stay on station, that would be over the designated combat zone, would be lengthened because they can get back to their base and refuel more quickly and use up less fuel getting to the combat zone and getting back to their home base. That's why you'd want them closer to increase the time over target. And that's a big deal, Jeff, isn't it?
Well, in this case, no, that's not exactly what it's about. That would be World War II, you know, Battle of Britain type logic. But in this case, when fighter bombers are equipped with strike missiles for hitting ground targets, they can fire those targets from many miles away from the target.
I was going to ask you the standoff. What is the standoff distance, if you know, for the hypersonic missiles?
Well, if they're armed with hypersonic missiles, they could be, you know, 50 to 100 kilometers away. I don't know the exact range. Some of these missiles are new to me. The purpose of using these kind of weapons is that they can't be intercepted. Right. Ukraine has got anti-aircraft. Kiev has got an anti-aircraft system that is sophisticated enough to shoot down everything but an ICBM. And it doesn't mean that they shoot down everything. They just can shoot down these things. But of course, a hypersonic missile they couldn't shoot down. Like it has a speed not as much as an ICBM, but closer to an ICBM than everything else. So, for example, when the attacks came after the attack on the Kerch Bridge, 60% of everything that was sent by the Russians, you know, they fired 80 missiles and 34 drones. 60% of that was shot down by the Ukrainian air defenses. This would not be able, if you're firing hypersonics from aircraft that just pop in that close over the Pripyat Marsh, you're basically, you're home free. Those missiles are going to make it to their targets if they don't go awry, you know, if they're accurate.
If they perform as advertised.
Right.
Right. Well, we can always come back to the Ukraine. Any updates from your sources on what's going on with China, sir?
Well, Xi Jinping, the meeting happened on Sunday in China. They're basically affirming Xi Jinping as, you know, as the emperor, reaffirming him as the Chinese big boss. He made a speech. I think it was nearly 2 hours long, talking about him leading China to glory, which kind of has a military ring to it. He said that nobody can tell us whether we can invade Taiwan or not, that it's part of China and we can do whatever we want. He's basically affirming that if he invades Taiwan, it's a civil war and the outside world better stay out. And that would include, I would assume, blockading it. So it was somewhat of a belligerent, I guess you wouldn't say the speech was a declaration of war, but it was a declaration of belligerency. Other significant things that have appeared, Russians, getting back to Russia has restricted the movement of doctors and nurses, medical personnel, restricted their travel. They're not going to let them leave the country.
Really?
Yeah. That's, of course, they're trying to keep people from fleeing the country as it is. China, the other thing is you knew that a number of countries have closed their consulates and embassies in Ukraine, all their people to get out. In fact, most of these are the Central Asian republics. I think Egypt is another one. These are mostly countries that were at the Samarkand meeting between Xi and Putin. And so it's speculated that they have some kind of intelligence about what's coming here in this next phase of the war.
They may very well. We have a break. Call number is 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
Oh. OPEC Plus cut oil production by 2 million barrels a day. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. The oil-producing nations of OPEC Plus announced that they are cutting oil outputs by 2 million barrels a day. Senator Joe Manchin said the move shows that the U.S. must emphasize American energy independence and security. Seems like I've heard that before. In response to the output cut, the Biden administration announced the release of 10 million more barrels from the nation's strategic petroleum reserves. Gee, that will cover the shortfall for a whole 5 days. Then what? Biden has already drained the reserves to their lowest point in decades. Biden created this problem by forcing his green agenda and is using the nation's strategic reserves as his party's campaign checkbook to attempt to bring gas prices down before next month's elections. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Fix bayonets. Many men have gone.
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. This hour is sponsored by EMP Shield. If you want EMP Shield devices, just give me a call and we'll take care of it, 314-965-3007. We have with us Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer, Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog, jrnyquist.blog, books for sale at Amazon. We have standing by who will join us soon, probably at the top of the hour, Steve Ben-Noon. His website's israelinewslive.org. And our next caller, gentlemen, is Cody in Missouri. Good morning, Cody.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. I just had a quick question just about everything going on with Russia and Ukraine. Started seeing some information online just about a few countries in the Middle East possibly getting involved. Just like what would that look like if they did get involved, especially with countries in the Middle East like Israel?
How would Israel get involved in a war in Ukraine?
Just by supplying, just supporting Ukraine like all of these other countries are right now?
Israel already Israel already has begun to support Ukraine. They held back from giving any. They gave like medical and humanitarian aid to Ukraine, but I believe they are now assisting with weapon systems.
Right.
So I think I heard they were selling some drones. Iran, you talk about a Middle East country. Iran has, you know, they captured an American drone, a kamikaze drone, and they have copied it, and they've been mass producing it. In fact, the whole Russian drone offensive is based on Iranian-made drones. So Russia is using. So if you want to say their involvement is giving support, Iran has really maybe given the most important support to Russia of anyone so far.
All right, and will that change anything in the Middle East in that way by them giving support in those ways, like specifically those two countries?
Well,
like,
it's a remarkable achievement that Iran has copied this American drone and that they've mass produced it for themselves and for their Russian allies. In fact, I think I heard yesterday they've actually sold 64 of the drones to Belarus. But I think they've sold enormous numbers of drones, which is really supporting the Russian attack on the Russian attack on Ukrainian infrastructure is really supported by that. So, but I don't know how many more drones the Iranians have got. They probably have a lot still for themselves. Iran, of course, is suffering from unrest. There's been violent riots and civil unrest in Iran in recent weeks. So the country is, there is a possibility of a revolution there.
Okay. All right. Well, that would be it. I do appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Cody, for the call. We appreciate it. Our next caller is Pat in Texas. Good morning, Pat.
Hi. I'm sorry I missed myself, but I wanted to ask Jeff if he thinks that Iran could actually hit Kiev with the Kiev, whatever they call it, with the drones that they did missiles, ICBM missiles that they did they're getting credit for.
I'm sorry, except, drones, ICBM missiles? I don't understand.
Iranian made, you just said that somebody's used, or they're entering into it by making whatever hit Kiev yesterday, and they say it's killed quite a few people.
Yeah, the drones are made in Iran. Yeah, they're copies of American drones that the Iranians are mass producing.
Only drones.
They're very effective. They're very effective. Well, they're American made. Mm-hmm. We make some pretty good weapons.
Oh. Well,
I mean, they're American design. The Iranians copied and are mass producing them. One of the dangers of them capturing our technology.
And I've just heard people say there's no way that Iran could get a missile, ICBM, from anywhere from where they are to any other place, even though they have a satellite now.
If you have a satellite, you have an ICBM potential. I mean, Iran, I think Iran could hit Ukraine with ballistic missiles, but Iran is not using ballistic missiles in Ukraine. Iran's ballistic missiles are aimed at Israel pretty much and other enemies Saudi Arabia is sort of switching sides now. So I think the Saudis are with the Russians, Chinese, and the Iranians. At least they're moving more into a neutral stance, perhaps. But I think Mr. Biden has alienated Saudi Arabia.
Okay. I don't ever remember who I told what to. But I just wondered, do you know about this psychology? Well, you wouldn't, I guess. I just wondered what you thought about it. Psychology
okay.
Today.
Hold on, Pat. We'll get through this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
John Moore's private consultations are the most comprehensive services available any place, anywhere in the world. They're available now and provide valuable knowledge and information that protects an individual, family, or group. We provide clarity, focus, and information for you and your associates for any situation. We have just the right knowledge, just the right information from just the right professionals. Schedule your consultation for your family or group now. Contact us at thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Once again, thelibertyman.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
As I said to those who've joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat.
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. My website's down. Can't go there, can't place any orders there, can't read up on all the interesting things there. We hope to get it back up soon. I can't promise when. We're working on it. And my webmaster does need your prayers. He's in the hospital. He was in an ICU for a week, unconscious on a respirator. Tim Spencer, my webmaster, so he does need your prayers. In the meantime, if you want to order an engine cleaner, just give me a call, or a mattress pad to go with it. Liberty rocket heater, give me a call. If you want a private consultation, give me a call. We'll just do it the old-fashioned way. I will answer the telephone and take care of whatever needs to be taken care of. That telephone is 314-965-3007. I say again, 314-965-3007. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We have with us Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer. Jeff Nyquist, his website is jrnyquist.blog. His books are for sale at Amazon. And we'll soon be joined by Steve Ben Noon. His website is israelinewslive.org. Before we get back to Pat, I got a note from Leon here about the hypersonic missiles. Apparently, they can go 2,000 kilometers, which is slightly more than 1,000 miles. That's a pretty good distance, isn't it, Leon? Hello, Leon. Leon, you're on mute.
Yes. Yes. The only advantage of having it at Belarus is to be able to have, you know, faster time on target. So even though they're moving at, you know, between 5 and 10 Mach, 12,000 miles an hour, you know, the closer you are, the less response. any opponent can put up, even if they try to throw a wall of lead up using, you know, the mini guns like they have T-Wiz in the military and the Navy. The right. faster you can get on target. So I agree with you, and we were talking about the standoff distance. When you're at 1,200 miles, yeah, that's so you don't even have to use an ICBM and launch it like a like artillery. This is down low and extremely fast. So it's like having a Tomahawk missile, but, you know, going at 12,000 miles an hour and can do erratic maneuvers that can preempt any interception. So it's quite a worthy opponent for sure.
Amazing. Well, see, I think Pat's still on hold. Pat, do you have a further comment or question, my dear?
I just want to tell him about that Psychology Today article, October 2nd this year, and it's written by Richard Gunderman, MD, PhD, and he's published about 15 books, so he's not just any old body. And the title of it is called A Pathological Liar as a World Leader, Vladimir Putin's Aversion to the Truth. And he lines them up. And I said, you know, I thought everybody was paying attention to when they were lining up on the border, and they still denied they were going to do anything. Well, why would they be doing that? And they've changed the name of everything they're doing. And I thought, I'm glad somebody's actually said it. It's very interesting. So I thought I would tell him about that. And not that it matters who says what anymore, I guess, because what's going to happen is going to happen unless we pray, I guess. Anyway, I'll let you go. I just appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, bye. Pat, thank you for your call. Before we get to our next caller, Jeff, you've got a way for people to subscribe to your website. How do they do that, sir?
Yeah, there's a PayPal button below every article, and people can subscribe and support the site by hitting the button and you know, helping us out. So,
all right. Well, I got a note from Steve Benoon. He wants to give us some comments on the drones. But before we get to Steve, and you might want to confirm this, Steve, I believe the Iranians figured out a way to force one of our drones to land, which is how they captured it and were able to reverse engineer it to begin with. Steve, what have you got for us on the drones?
That is true. They did have the technology to be able to bring the drone down, land the drone, and get that technology. Before, though, Russia brought the Iranian drones in, into the Ukraine theater, I actually did report this on Israeli News Live probably a month before they actually did that. The United States had already given the kamikaze drones that we had to the Ukrainians and were using those against the Russians. I know that it became a big issue at the Joint Chiefs meeting there because there were some of the Joint Chiefs advisors there that were warning against sending our own drones into the theater, mainly because Russia's sharing all the technology that we're using with the Chinese, and they actually really appreciate the fact that we're using our advanced technology in the Ukraine war. But Russia, it's not that Russia doesn't have a very good drone as well, but Russia has been very cautious in using their own technology or advanced technology in this war so as to not to give away what their true capabilities are. And going back to where Pat had asked about the capabilities of an ICBM hitting Ukraine, the answer is actually yes. They do have that capability. And the reason why Belarus has purchased so many of the drones for themselves, and Russia has also sent in troops to be alongside the Belarusian army, is because they're fully anticipating an invasion by NATO on Belarus of some sort, whether it be by land or whether it be by air or missile attack. And that is true. There are plans to bring down Belarus because they consider that to be a hub for Russia to launch attacks closer to Kiev. And so they want to eliminate that as a potential threat on Ukraine. So there's all different types of aspects to this. And, you know, and of course, like I said, the technology we keep pouring into Ukraine, which is what has actually helped turn the tide for Ukraine. It is definitely not the Ukrainian military. In fact, if anything, the Ukrainian military has suffered such massive losses of life and wounded that more than half of their military has been brought down already in this conflict. And the need for contract fighters has really grown exponentially, and that is what's being brought in now to fight in Iran. So it's, I know that with the Joint Chiefs, there is a great concern that this war is going to broaden. At the same time, with China itching at the trigger finger to go ahead and take Taiwan down, which would really put us in a very awkward position. And we do know that Iran does have some technology that is greater than what the U.S. or Russia has. We've been working on trying to figure out what that technology is. I can't really get into that issue very much, but they do have an advanced military technology above that of the U.S. or Russia, for that matter. So anyway, just some of the comments there. And maybe later, if you're a caller from Germany, I did get some answers to his question that he had from previous weeks.
Well, hopefully he'll be, Thomas from Germany will call in. Right now we have John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Morning. Morning. I have a couple of questions. One is there any likelihood that China will put any air or ground forces directly, on boots on the ground directly, supporting or in combat with Russia, or they just sort of give support?
Okay, Jeff, you want to take that?
I think I've answered this before. There are reports that China has special forces in Ukraine along the front. There are, ethnic Chinese. I think there's an ethnic Chinese Russian division. I used to know its number. That is actually trained in China, that has been in the front. So I don't know if it still is, but how could you tell if they were Chinese or Russian? So I don't think if there's any Chinese forces, they're small, and it's not really significant. It would be mainly for them to learn and observe, and so far nothing. I mean, the North Korea has offered 100,000 troops to send. That hasn't happened so far. And I don't think China is going to send significant troops because they would have to supply them over such a long area. The Russians are having trouble supplying their own army, let alone trying to support Chinese troops. And so China has its own front in India, in the Pacific, to man. And so I don't think that's a major issue.
All right. Steve, do you have any follow-up before we move on to the next question?
Yes, there are Chinese troops on the ground in Ukraine. As Jeff said, though, it's not a massive number of troops there. China's in quite a few theaters of war that a lot of people are totally not aware of. They are also they are in Syria. They are in Iraq. And they have been involved in quite a few military confrontations because they are beginning to take over those theaters of war, as we hear so often. We're being pushed out of those areas slowly but surely.
Okay. Well, what's your other question, John?
Hey, Scott Ritter, I mentioned him before. He says in most recent interview, has said that he thinks that the Ukrainian military or the top ones are going to realize that he is, quote, the problem. They're going to oust him, or he may be assassinated, at which point they will open negotiated settlement of Central Russia, but ultimately the eastern part of Ukraine is going to be annexed by Russia, and the western part, including Kiev, is going to be annexed by Russia, and eventually the western part is undetermined, but will possibly be taken over by Belarus or by Poland. Do you have a comment about this?
Well, you're talking about prospective Russian plans. Look, you're talking about the assassination of Zelensky. It's you know, the Russians can do anything if they win the war with the territory of the country. They can dispose of it as they want. The question is, they have to actually win. The guy who is probably maybe more important for Russia than Putin is Sergei Stepashin. He's sort of the brains behind the regime. He was prime minister just before Putin was made prime minister in 1999. He kind of set up the whole staffing of Putin's first government. Stepashin popped his head up and he made a statement in, within the last 10 days or so, in which he said, Putin is our Tsar Nicholas II. He takes on all the responsibility for everything that happens, you know, wink, wink. And the implication of the statement is that we can do whatever we want. If it doesn't work, we can blame Putin and we can change the regime, you know, because Tsar Nicholas was overthrown because World War I didn't work out for Russia. And he was killed. So the same thing can happen. I mean, this is kind of a hint. It's Aesopian language. You have to read into it, and people may read different things. But really, all of Russia's attacks have basically bounced. They're losing territory right now. Their army is falling apart. So I think that this last hurrah, where they're really probably from the sound of the deployment this morning, which has been expected, one analyst was telling me he was expecting this deployment, and he thinks it's a thermobaric attack on Kiev and or Lviv. And that makes sense to me. Now he's looking pretty correct, and that's going to be a pretty devastating attack and when it happens, because these bombs, these thermobarics, are like tactical nuclear weapons in their effect. And they might attack other infrastructure. They might actually go for the air defenses of the country and bring in more aircraft and intensify the air offensive. So the Ukraine is in for a very brutal fall, you know, when these attacks begin. And if Ukraine withstands it, like Britain in the Battle of Britain withstood it, the air attack, then you can't. It's very difficult to win a war just from the air. You have to be able to take and hold the ground. And the question is, will this break the will of the Ukrainians? I don't think so. Will it enable the Russian army to advance on the ground? I don't think so. The only game changer, I would think, is if they actually take, if they actually use a nuclear weapon and they cause everybody to panic so badly that the West cuts off Ukraine from its supplies that they're given. That might demoralize Ukraine. But short of that, I don't see how this is going to change the war. But, you know, you never know in war. Russia, as Steve was saying, they haven't used all their weapons. They've got some advanced stuff. You know, we'll just have to see.
Okay. John, thank you for your call. All right, moving on from there. We have all these issues on the table, and a lot of prognostication about what may or may not happen. We have high-level American officials throwing out terms regarding nuclear war, just like a normal person would ordering a pizza. It's very, in my opinion, very scary for high-level American officials to be talking about the possibility of nuclear war so casually. And I'm going to ask for Steve Bannon for his response.
Well, it is being talked about very casually, as you said, and I know that I don't know if I knew this information before our broadcast last week, but Biden had came into the White House after that night meeting with Hillary Clinton, and he was fuming, was the report that I got from those that were sitting in the meeting there, and he was determined that he was going to stop Russia from taking Ukraine. And in his own words, he said, if I have to use nuclear weapons and start a nuclear war, that's what I will do. And it shocked some of the Joint Chiefs that were sitting in the meeting there that he was this adamant. Of course, they did note that he was with Hillary Clinton the night before. George Soros, she's basically George Soros' right-hand man, is what they consider that at the White House. And for those that think Soros is dead, that's not true. He's not dead.
Okay. Here's our break. We'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, and there I'm not forgot to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning, look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Well, I wish I was in
back. This is the Tuesday Morning Roundtable with Steve Bannoun. His website is israelinewslive.org. Jeff Nyquist has books for sale at Amazon. His website is jrnyquist.blog. And my friend Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer. We don't have any callers on hold at the moment, so we got open lines at 512-248-8252. We have all these issues, and World War III being tossed about as being taking place right now. There may be some agreement or disagreement on that. Talk of nuclear war being tossed about more than I've ever heard since the Cuban Missile Crisis. I was in high school when the Cuban Missile Crisis was taking place. And it's some pretty scary times, isn't it, Steve?
It is, John. Everything's getting nuts. I mean, I'm here, of course, in Tennessee. I'm looking out the window, and it's snowing in October.
Really?
Yes. I have snow coming down heavier and heavier by the moment here.
What's your elevation?
But I'm about 1,800 feet.
Oh, it's
so
not that
like
high.
Mega high.
No, not really. No. There's places in my neighborhood 1,800 feet. Yeah.
So, but one thing, John, that I was thinking about as I was listening to some of the things you were saying was that I was reminded in the last meeting I was in that all these conflicts, of course, we know they're scripted. I was told that they are ahead of schedule. Not really sure why. No one's really saying why that's happening. But this one statement that was made to me is that the wars or for public consumption. That's pretty crazy, coming right out of the top people in Washington, that the wars are for public consumption. In other words, it's the narrative they want you to believe that's going on. What's really happening behind the scenes is they're setting up their global one world order. And so when we were discussing this issue about wars are for public consumption, the issue was when you're looking at Russia as the quote-unquote bad guy, or if you take the opposite view, U.S. as the bad guy, the imperialist, as some people say, this is all just smoke and mirrors for the most part. It's not what people think it really is. When they have an agenda to set up a whole new global system, every person has their part. Now, when we got into that issue about this being that, of course, as the issue came up for an example, was the space program. Russia, the United States, and China all cooperate on their, we call it the secret space program. It's not NASA, what people know of publicly. So
hold that thought. We'll continue this discussion after the top of the hour break.
Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.